Good morning. It's 9 o'clock in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean, and welcome to another 15 minutes with Co-operators General Insurance, where we discuss preventative measures drivers can take to avoid motor accidents. Remember that questions can be sent to Sabrina Howard, and you can email showard@coopgeneral.com.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Co-operators General Insurance, insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.
And leading us off this morning, we welcome to the studio Rachel Wilfred, who is a claims assessor with Co-operators General, and also in studio, former Assistant Superintendent of Police Leon Blades. So, Rachel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Carol. Good morning, Mr. Blades. Good morning, listeners. Thanks again for tuning in another Wednesday. So today's topic, we have traffic light accidents. Now, we would like to address drivers approaching traffic lights in every form, that including traffic lights that are flashing, amber lights, and also changing lights.
Traffic lights.
This is mouthful. Thank you. Good morning to all.
We'll see what we get to, because we know this time goes quickly, sir.
Yes, it does. It does run away quickly. Firstly, I would like to look at the lights, the configuration in the lights, because I think it's important that we look at what the law says, Regulation 109, in relation to the configuration of the lights. And it speaks to the lights, the formation of the lights. The lights shall be in a particular order. The red light should be the uppermost. The green light should be the lowermost part. And then there is the amber light in between. And it also speaks of the flashing light for pedestrians, with the stop and the one in the green. The law speaks to that clearly, but I know for the interest of time, and what we would like to deal with is to look at the lights and the meaning of some of the lights, because some persons seem not to understand the meaning of the lights, and that is important. But it goes back, a lot has to be the training that the person was afforded when they were learning to drive, because it is at that point that a lot of these things should be disseminated. But it doesn't seem as though that it is so. So the red light signal is a prohibition that vehicle traffic shall not be permitted to proceed beyond the stop line on the carriageway, provided in conjunction with the signal, or if that line is not for the time being visible, or there is no such line beyond the signal. So the red light signal is a prohibition. The green light signal indicates that vehicle traffic may be permitted to pass the signal and proceed through, straight through, on or to the left or to the right. Then they tell you the amber signal is a prohibition that vehicle traffic shall not be permitted. So there's some similarity between the amber signal and the red signal, because it's a prohibition that traffic shall not be permitted. So the amber signal and the red signal means stop, as far as the law is concerned.
The red and the amber mean stop.
Yes, because Regulation 112C is telling you an amber signal is a prohibition that vehicle traffic shall not be permitted to proceed beyond the stop line, or if the line is not at the time being visible, or there is no such line beyond the signal, except there is a proviso, except in the case of any vehicle which, when the signal first appears, is so close to the line or signal that it cannot safely be stopped before passing the line. Hmm. So you give a provision that if the lights changes and you're on the line, you should continue, even though it's a flash, even though it's an amber light.
Amber, but not red, because red means stop.
Right. So the amber, it is a provision that if you're so close, but if it is before you get to the line, you should stop.
Hmm. Okay.
And far too often, that doesn't happen.
I find what I'm seeing on the roads is that from the time you see that amber light, people start to speed up because they're trying to get through before it turns red.
Let me look at that part. The amber light means stop. So if you mean the amber light means stop, it's a stale amber light. You should realize that light was on for a while. Or even a stale green light. If you're approaching an intersection and there's a stale green light, I mean, when I say a stale green light, I'm speaking in terms of you've seen it from a distance away, over 100 meters or so. You did not see when it changed. What's it? Is a stale light. When you want to anticipate that it can change before you get to the line. So it's important that drivers realize if it is a stale light, I should slow down. I should reduce my speed, not speed up, because you cannot beat the light. Because when you get, if you speed up and you are increasing your speed, you're at such a point that when you reach the line and it changes to amber, you can't stop. So when you have to apply brakes harshly, it means that you're going to overshoot the intersection, overshoot that line that I spoke to a minute ago, and wind up in the intersection. And then you may have a driver who's on the other side who approached his light, changed from red to green, and he decided to keep on going. It is those drivers who we have to deal with. And perhaps this morning, you can spend some time looking at those drivers who, when they approach the stale light or the red light and it changes, as a prudent driver or a defensive driver, what they should do is give chance for the clearing of that intersection, realizing that some other driver may not be as alert as you are, and they may not stop. So you will give a chance to clear the intersection clear, because at one stage, more sets of lights are red for, I'm not sure, 5-6 seconds. Mm. So it means that more sets should stop.
Yes.
But far often, this does not happen. So drivers approach a light on a stale green or a stale red, and when the light changes, they change gear and they accelerate through the intersection. That should not happen. It is when that happens and collisions occur that you're at fault in the collision. Mm. You might not be solely to blame, might be partially to blame. So those are the things that you have to deal with.
Mm. I think I love the idea of that amber light. Just stop.
So if when you approach the amber light and you stop, you have no problem. But there are some drivers who approach the light so quick, even behind, if you were ahead and you stop, you'll find a driver behind you hearing the screeching of brakes because he anticipated that you're going to go through, that you have the same mindset as he has, or he or she. Mm-hmm. Right? And they will want to drive right through. But no, that is not the way to do it. Yeah. Because you have to act as have used road sense. If you use common sense for our interactions, you have to use road sense for that particular point. And you've got to realize that I cannot get through safely, because if I try to get through, another driver might be trying the same thing, and then we meet in the intersection.
And don't be intimidated by the horns in the back.
No, don't be intimidated. No.
Don't be intimidated.
Because you see, that's the same thing with that roundabout. The person that hasn't arrived at the intersection to give way line wants to make a decision for the person who's in front. No, wait your chance. And that is the problem. I think drivers need to understand the mechanics of how the lights work. They got to understand it. And they realize what my responsibility is. Mm. If they can understand their responsibility, then it makes it clearer.
Wow. Okay. So let's take a quick break and come back with more as we really talk about some of the things, the preventative measures that we can take to avoid collisions. Today, we're talking about those traffic lights. If you're at the traffic light now, think about it.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Cooperative General Insurance, insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.
And we're back with Rachel Wilfred, who is a claims assessor with Cooperators General Insurance, as well as Mr. Leon Blades, the expert as it relates to trying to keep us on our toes and get us educated, things that we did not know. So let's continue. Any questions you have for Mr. Blades, Rachel?
I was going to say, in furtherance to the conversation relating to the lights, it mentions that regulation 112.3, that vehicular traffic passing light signal shall be driven or propelled with due regard. The law is saying it, that you should drive with due regard to the safety of the road users. So that is just reinforcing what I said a moment ago, that you should be cognizant of what is happening around you. You're not there alone. So you have to go through that with due regard. If the main making reference to that, it means that you have a responsibility as a driver, not only for your safety, but for your due regard to and going through the intersection.
So in essence, think for yourself and for everybody.
Think
else
for yourself. That is the normal thing of a driver. Should be thinking for himself and the other person.
And the other person, not just himself. Mm-hmm. All right, so we had a question came into our email. And the question is, at the Darcy Scott roundabout, which is the correct lane to use coming from Chaffette or the gas station exiting towards H&B Hardware? So that's the Big Warren's roundabout.
Okay. The area coming from Chaffette, you should be the person who wants to go to the right lane. Okay, the left lane. Let's name it left lane. The left lane coming from Chaffette should turn left to go to Cave Hill or go straight to Royal Map Highway. Mm-hmm. Those are the choices. Mm-hmm. The left lane, you could turn left to go up to Cave Hill campus or over the hill, or you could go straight in Royal Map Highway, Highway 2 here. The right lane should be able to go to turn right, to go right, to go straight also, or to turn right. So it means that if a driver coming from by Chaffette, the I think it's Corporators General Insurance Company, and there is this co-op, or whether I can't recall the insurance company, but just above the gas station, CGI.
Mm-hmm.
So a person approaching there should be in the right lane. When you go around the right lane, you have to indicate that you're leaving the roundabout to turn left to the same H&B. You anticipate that the only vehicle that should be entering the roundabout should be coming from the same Royal Map Highway. Mm-hmm. Because the driver who is coming from Cave Hill, who's also in the right lane, should have given way to you at the roundabout. So the person has to give you the vehicle on your right. So it means that when you get there, you should be ahead of him or her. And so when you're ready to leave the roundabout, you should be able to put on your indicator. But maybe that is not very regularly used. That is part of the training that should be involved with driver training, that person understand when you're leaving the roundabout, you should put on your indicator just before the intersection. So when the person coming from the same Chaffette, when they get going past the entrance to the Royal Map Highway, they should put on their left indicator and keep and look in their left side mirror to see if any vehicle is coming up on the inside. So the only vehicle should be coming inside, as far as I'm concerned, is the vehicle should be coming from Royal Map Highway, not from Cave Hill campus and coming down. Mm-hmm. So the driver from Cave Hill campus, again, let me reiterate that if they're coming down there, they should be taking the left lane. And if they're in the left lane, they should be going across Royal Map Highway. Mm-hmm. If they're going to go straight to the other roundabout, they should be in the right lane.
Okay.
And that is what doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. People, and I even see it coming from the opposite direction. If you're coming from the other above roundabout to the below roundabout, you're in the right lane. But you can't get in the left lane. You want to get in the left lane. And you come down to the junction in the left lane. And when if the driver at the junction now is a bit slow, you react and you quickly jump in and turn right at the left and around the mountain. You shouldn't be, because if you get a collision, you are wrong.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we are out of time. We need to talk about roundabouts and all those kind of things really in detail. But I want to say thank you very much to both of you. This 15 minutes goes by very, very quickly, and you can see questions starting to come through. If you have a question, please email showard@coopgeneral.com. And that's it for another 15 minutes with Cooperators General Insurance, where we discuss preventative measures drivers can take to avoid motor accidents. Good morning to you.
What makes an insurance company stand tall above the rest? Is it the affordable premiums, flexible payment plans, or multiple locations to serve you better? Is it because it's locally owned by the credit union movement? Is it the 24-hour emergency roadside assistance or prompt settlement of claims? Or is it the long-standing pledge of community involvement and friendship? Welcome to Co-Operators General Insurance. Insurance the way you want it to be. We can help.